5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Well, hello, this is Tech Talk. Once again, your technology show. If you're blind or partially sighted, this is the show to listen to for all the latest news, views and opinions on all kinds of technology that is coming up. But this week we're shifting focus a little bit, a special episode, which has kind of been asked for by you, dear listener. Yeah, this is something you've been interested in for some time, and that is how we actually make this show. Now, there were two people on this program a couple of months back, just under a couple of months back, actually, who were my regular guests every single week. And it seemed rather inappropriate not to mention them in this episode when we want to talk about how we made the show for pretty much the last 2 years. So, this week, we have back with us Sean Preece and Tim Schwartz. Hi, guys.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
We're back.
Yeah, you're back again, which is lovely to have you both back. Of course, Sean, you were here last week with the gaming special with Robin, so that was great. But giving Robin a week off, etc. Go and enjoy yourself, Robin, because we are actually doing a special episode all around Global Accessibility Awareness Day, which we'll tell you about later. So, you know, lots to stick around for on Tech Talk this week, because not one, but two special episodes this week. Very exciting.
Wow.
But before we talk about all that, I thought this week we'd do something we've never done before and actually do what a listener has asked us to do.
How dare you? We do that all the time. We're always listening. Never doing.
Oh, we're always listening. Yes.
Yes.
Actioning is another thing entirely. But one thing we've had on our kind of list of to-dos is to talk about the show and how we actually put it together. Now, when you two were on, we always got people in touch saying, you know, this is really weird because you sound like you're all sitting there in the same room and we don't think you are. I'm going to delve into the truth, quite frankly, of how all this works.
We're
going to look behind the curtain, Sean.
But it spoils the magic. But yeah, I think people know that we're not actually in the same studio together.
Is that because we all hate each other or because we just happen to be in the different locations? Because Tim, let's start with you. You're the furthest away from all of us.
Yes, I am.
Because you, you tell us where you are. Where are you in the world?
Well, I don't know that I really want to disclose my location. It's such a secret.
Oof.
No, I am actually in the United States, just outside of Cincinnati, Ohio.
Ooh.
Doesn't that sound cool? Why do U.S. towns and cities sound so cool?
Because they've got big long names that sound cool. And of course, you say it with that accent, it sounds even better.
If you say so.
Well, yeah, I suppose so. But we got Burton-on-Trent. You know, I mean, that's a long name, but it just doesn't sound cool.
Banger.
Okay, moving on. I'm actually from Manchester, of course, so there is a logistic problem when it comes to getting in the same studio. So, no, of course, I'm skipping over that. Of course we're not in the same studio.
Yeah. No, we're not. So you're in Manchester, I'm up in Glasgow, in dear old Scotland, and yeah, so basically the three of us, and I think this is actually a really good place to start, because when we talk about creating a podcast, one of the things you have to think about is, well, who's actually going to be on the podcast with you, and where will people be? So because we're kind of scattered around, we have to find ways of communicating, we have to find ways of talking, and then interviewing each other. And on a show like this, where three people are going to be on the show for the whole hour, you kind of want them to sound their best. Now, in Sean's case, there's not much we can do with him.
Hey, I've been back all of 5 minutes and you've started already. Unbelievable.
Saying, hashtag funny little accent is back.
Okay.
But no, I mean, it's one of those things, right? We've been doing this for a long time. We wanted to sound as best we could. So when we kicked off the show way, way, way back, we had Jackie Brown, we had Chris Danielson on regularly from the National Federation of the Blind. We had loads of people who came on through the years and took part, and everybody did it via Skype. And Skype is the kind of obvious place to start, isn't it? Because it's such a great place to get decent quality audio that you can sort of connect with each other, you can hear each other fairly clearly, and it works really well, doesn't it? I mean, we've all used it. We started out with Skype.
Well, it was the
the mainstay, wasn't it? You really didn't have a lot of choice, and Skype, because it was virtually everywhere, and you know that most people had Skype, it was the default go-to option. And yeah, it did work well. To be fair, it did work well, but there are better options out there now. Well, personally, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a lot better options out there now. And it's funny that by the time Skype finally got around to allowing you to very easily record your conversations, not just on your phone, but on PC and Mac, that's about the time that we had already stopped using it. I think long before then we had stopped using it.
That's right. Yeah, we'd moved on. And there was a couple of reasons for that. One was that the audio quality was always a little bit questionable. It wasn't actually the audio quality. It was your connection. You know, you'd sometimes find that the connection would drop out. No, it was definitely yours. But, you know, you kind of had these issues where sometimes someone would just drop out. And I love that thing on Skype where someone's word just goes...
Yes, like they've deflated. Yes, that's right. And if you speak over each other, as someone speaks over you, then that person just cuts out. And sometimes they can't hear what you're saying. So
that's right.
There was a lot of those issues there. And it isn't just down to your internet connection or the other person's. It's sometimes the Skype servers themselves that's the issue. So, yeah, I mean, it was great. And it is a great option still. But there's more options there.
And, of course, the second reason, and this is what led us to our choice, was accessibility. I've said it on the show many a time, and we all say it on Double Tap as well when we're there, that, you know, Skype is not the most accessible app in the world. Despite, and this is, you know, I don't want to start going down this route again, but despite all the work that Microsoft had put in to accessibility, and then this app is just terrible. You can't even answer a call easily.
Well, now then, don't force me into a corner of defending Skype. But it's got a lot better than its initial release, let's say. And you can. The keyboard shortcuts are there for answering calls. I can't remember what it is offhand, but it is there. And you can tab around to get to all the buttons which are labelled now. So it's just a bit of a clunky interface. It's the usual Windows app interface, which, let's be honest, isn't great when it comes to accessibility.
Yeah, well, that's an understatement of the year. But, no, I mean, you're right. There are ways to do it. The problem is, it seems, it only works on certain occasions. Like, you know, the hang up or the answer button or the command for that will only work when it's a Tuesday and it's, you know, it's sunny outside and, you know, not at midnight, you know, and all this kind of nonsense. It just seems to have this kind of way of working that it'll work one day, not the next. And I don't like it for that. But that was a major player for us because, of course, we had to add people into calls. We had to get people on. Also, I think everybody who had to join a call, like if we were doing a group call that we do, if someone we wanted to get on didn't have Skype, we couldn't add them to the group call. And that became a bit of a nuisance as well because you're trying to figure all that out and how am I going to add them in? And, of course, there's the technical aspects of it, time as well. You know, I think I was just about the point when I was learning JAWS at the very beginning of that journey. And I think you guys remember how frustrated I used to get. I mean, you two just laughed your way through it. You're just laughing at me the whole time. It was actually tantamount to abuse.
That's how we support each other through the gift of laughter.
Yes,
exactly.
Thanks.
Laughing at you, not with you.
Yeah, I know. I was there. It's all right. I didn't need to know that. I knew that already. So yeah, that was our reason for moving on, and we chose an app called Zoom. Now, Zoom can often be confused with the popular audio recorder. We will talk about audio recording later, but Zoom is actually a service out of the States which allows you to do kind of similar what Skype does. But the difference being is if you imagine when you sign up to Zoom, if you choose to sign up and pay for the service, which you can do, and I do, you get essentially a room to yourself, a room that you can invite people to no matter where they are in the world, no matter what device they're using as well. So people can connect on their smartphones using the Zoom app. They can connect on computers using a web link. And you don't have to sign up for anything. You just click the link. You get a little window that pops up and says, do you want to use your microphone or your camera to join? Because you can do it in video as well. We don't do that, but you could. And that's you. You're in the room. Once you've agreed to all that, you're in the room. It takes a couple of seconds. And we've had people on who are not particularly tech savvy on the show,
Tim,
but they really do quickly grasp this app.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, look, that is one of the incredible positives to Zoom, I think, is the ability, you just send a link. You can email someone a link, and when they click on it, that's it. They're basically in. They don't have to install anything if they don't want to. They can just open up the web browser, click, yes, you can allow Chrome or whoever to use my microphone, and they're a part of the conversation. The quality is great. It's very accessible as far as I can make out here on my side. I just love it.
Yeah, I've been really impressed with Zoom ever since we switched to it because, like you both say, the quality is so good. It's clear. There's very little, if any, latency. So there's not any of that dropping or digitizing of our voices or any silly things like that. We're in Skype. Sometimes one of us would start to digitize and sound like the voice from War Games from back in the 80s. You know, the computer voice. Like, what in the world was that? And like you guys said, it's simple to use if you've never used it. Click a link, check a couple boxes or not, put in your name and you're in. But then for our purposes, it's also a very fully fledged involved app as well, because you can do a lot of things with it. Like you said, Stephen, with audio, video, you can export that video or audio to other places and other apps or other programs. So many things you can do with it if you choose to. You don't have to, but you can. So there's a lot of really great options with Zoom, and it has worked out really well for us.
Yeah, we use it every single week for what we do. For what we do here at Tech Talk, all that stuff. I mean, it's just such a brilliant app. Now, I pay for it. I pay for the, I think it's just the basic version because I'm cheap, frankly.
Yes,
breaking news.
And it's like 12 quid a, it's like 12 quid a month. Not a huge amount. It is a huge amount. I'd say it's that number where you'd have to be kind of serious about doing what you're doing.
Yes.
You don't have to pay, though. But I'll tell you a couple of reasons why I do. Because there is a cheat mode, which is, I mean, it's a free tier, you don't have to pay, but they only give you 40 minutes in a room. So it's like Jaws trial mode.
Yes, it is.
You get 40 minutes and then you're booted out. And that can be, that's good if it's a call or you're using it to just connect with people, like maybe having a meeting with a bunch of people. I've been suggesting it for a lot of our RNIB Connect groups, you know, who might want to communicate with each other and just get together. It's a really simple way to do it. You can even dial in on a phone, on just a standard landline. There's a number you can dial, and you can just get right into the room. You don't have to use a smartphone. And that's why it's really, really appealing, because you can get people on who are not tech savvy, who may have only access to one form of communication, and that might be a landline. So it's really good for that. But I think for us, the 40-minute mode was one thing that kind of really, it was a problem because our shows are an hour long, so that was immediately a problem. And even though you could think, I could just hang up halfway in and then we could redial. But the problem was that the meeting ID changed every time. And then you had to go and source the meeting ID and then send that back to everyone as well. And of course, for us, again, that was an extra step. Was a bit more difficult, especially if everyone was sitting at their desks or on their phones. It was quite difficult to get everybody to get the new details. Whereas with a paid for subscription, you actually get standardized fixed meeting ID that you can use at any time.
Yeah, it's always the same.
It's always the same. So it's a lot easier.
Correct. And if I remember correctly, we tried the 40-minute mode for one episode of Tech Talk, I think, not even that much. And every 40 minutes, because the show may take an hour, but that's not how long it takes us to get the show completed, which we'll get into. But that's just the nature of the three of us getting together at any point. So every 40 minutes, several times, we're having to go through this whole process. And all three of us were frustrated, especially you, Stephen, because you were the one reloading it and sending the links and having to do all this all over again. And I don't think it took more than just that one attempt at one episode. And you said, all right, that's it. Forget it. I'm paying for this. I don't care how much it is. I'm just paying for it.
Yeah, it just got too much, frankly. I just couldn't be bothered anymore. And I actually, like we said, I find it a really useful tool. Now, I also want to say just at this point, Zoom don't give me a year free by talking about this. I wish they did, but they don't.
Please.
Please. Come on, this is a good talk up here for you guys. But the reason I am quite supportive of this particular company and their product is because they have put a lot of work into accessibility. And for us, that's a key thing. And I'll always stand by anyone who does that. They've put a huge amount of work in, keyboard shortcuts, even the way that the program works. For example, when someone joins a meeting, I don't think on Skype it announces who's there or tells you who's left or whatever, but on Zoom, you get a kind of bing bong and then it tells you, assuming you've got something like JAWS or NVDA on, it will tell you what's going on the screen. It will tell you if your mic's unmuted. It will tell you if your internet connection's got a problem. Tell you when someone's left the meeting. So it's a really good program. Everything has been scripted really well for us, and there's huge amounts of accessibility built into it. And I think it's great. I also think there's one other thing which we'll come into a bit later, and maybe a bit more detail, but I think it's a really important feature of Zoom, and that is that it can record the conversation you're having. So if you didn't have any kind of way of recording the audio, you could actually record the audio on your device using this app. Now, if you use a smartphone, for example, and all the people who've connected are using smartphones, you can record it to a file either on your phone or it will even go to the cloud and you can get it later. But if you're using a desktop application for the host of the show, like me sitting here, I'm using it on a desktop computer, I can actually record, but not only that, I can capture every individual person separately for recording. And that is really useful. And we'll come on to that and the reason why that's important a bit later. But that's what we do. So that's how we record, or that's how at least we meet.
Well, that's how we connect, right.
That's how we connect. Yeah, we did start using that for recording, but then, again, we changed our mind on something, didn't we? Because we thought,
Why? That's unlike us, changing our mind.
No, never.
But we did, and we thought, we want to make this better. We want to make it sound better. How do we do that? And what we did was all three of us decided, right, let's record ourselves locally. Now, what that means is that I use an editor on my computer to record what I'm saying, but when I'm speaking, it's recording, but when those guys are speaking, it's not recording them. Actually, I think it's the best. If we just put that out on air, that would be the best show ever.
No.
It
does make a difference. So basically, we're just recording our own side of the conversation. So we're using the Zoom, or in someone else's case, maybe Skype, whatever it is, you get to actually talk to each other. But for the recording of our actual vocals, we're just recording our own conversation, our own side of it. And then later on, we mix it all together. But I think it does give you much better audio quality.
Yeah, I think that's where people feel that we are sounding like we're in the same studio, which really, on that note, could you imagine getting the three of us in one room at the same time for a couple of hours? Oh. Wow. I mean, it'll happen someday, but that would just be insane. Anyway, that's kind of the secret to the magic of how we sound like we're together, is because we are recording separately. So it's an individual recording that's going to be at a really high quality. And then people may have noticed when we would have guests on, they still sound really good because they're being recorded in Zoom, but they're being added into that synced up audio of the three of us on our individual personal recordings. And then they're recorded in Zoom individually, like you were talking about, Stephen, which I love that feature of Zoom, to be able to have individual audio recordings of every person that can be synced up. And so those people, those guests, may have sounded slightly less of a quality than ours was because it was on Zoom, but still pretty good.
And there are occasions where we've had guests on who say, oh, well, I could just record my side as well.
Correct, yeah.
And that works really well. So, you know, it depends on who you're dealing with. And I think if you're creating a podcast, if you want to start out, I think you're going to want to think about the first person in that podcast, and that is you. So let's talk a bit about the equipment that we all use, because one of the questions I get asked about most, if ever I get a question asked more than anything else when I'm out there talking to people, is what mic do you use? How, you know, what kind of equipment have you got? And I think the need for the best equipment has changed a lot. You could spend, a couple of years back, you could spend thousands upon thousands of pounds on getting the latest, greatest, whatever. And there are some brilliant microphones out there. The SM7B. RE20, which is the kind of most popular, it's Electro Voice CV20, which is the
nerd.
I know, but it's like the greatest mic ever. But it costs like £500.
Don't forget that Heil PR 40 that everybody wants to get.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And we use, in our studios in Glasgow for R&IB, we use Neumann microphones that are about $2,000 each.
Wow.
I mean, they're amazing microphones, brilliant microphones, but, you know, they are in some ways overkill. So we look at other options. It's just down to budget because we're all buying this kit ourselves. We've decided what we are choosing to buy. So in my case, I have a Rode NT1A microphone, which is a really nice microphone. I mean, I'm really pleased with it. And I've bought Rode mics over the years. I'll be honest, I think this latest version is a little bit cheaper and nastier compared to the previous version I had. I do. I thought the one I had before, which I think was an NT2 originally, and it was a much better microphone, I think, in a lot of ways. The build quality, it was a heavy microphone. It's one of those things, if you dropped it on a table, if you dropped it on a CD, it would smash the CD to bits.
Yeah.
I like that. Whereas this is a bit lighter and all the rest. But there are lots of different microphones out there you can buy. So I have that. I have it plugged into a mixer, which is, in my case, an Allen & Heath Z14. I chose that because it's got four stereo channels. It's got a range of mono channels as well. So you can have lots of mics attached to it if you want. Or I've got a neat little setup to do phone calls if I want to get someone on by phone and they don't want to use Zoom or anything like that. And I could talk about that later, a bit later if you want. But I've got a microphone in one of those channels. I've got the phone, if you like, plugged into the other. And on the stereo channels, I've got my computer so I can hear what I'm doing. I've got voiceover on and it is rabbiting away in the background whenever it needs to. I've got another option available to me via a sound card, which is either it could be an iPad or another computer, and that lets me play another audio to the show. So if I wanted to play in a jingle or something, I could do that. So lots and lots of options on that desk. All that is plugged into MacBook Pro, and that is essentially my desktop computer that does all the work. So it does the recording and, I'd say the editing, but I'm not quite there yet with that, and I'll explain that one a bit later as well. For my editing, I use a PC and Adobe Audition version 3, which is an old version of it, but it's the only one. Yeah, it is old school. Originally called Cool Edit Pro, if you want to go back that far. And then there was a kind of collaboration with SoundForge, and then it went in its own way. But now it's Adobe Audition is a great program, but it's not the most accessible. Version 3 isn't the most accessible either, but you can customize more keyboard commands. And that's why I've chosen to stick with it. Plus, I've used it for so many years, I know it inside out. But I'm looking at something new, but I'll talk about that a bit later. So that's my setup. That is it. My headphones, actually. DT770 Pros, which are the biodynamic range. Very good studio headphones, closed back, which means that you don't get any leakage out of them. You don't hear any sound coming through. You don't want any sound getting from your headphones to your microphone, because in recording, and Sean knows this because he does the editing for the show, it can be a bit annoying when you've got all that noise coming in, because when you're trying to sync up audio or work with audio or change something, it can get in the way. So, that's my setup. Tim, what about you?
Well, for my setup, Stephen, I have a very similar setup, but a lot different when it comes to what I paid for it, probably, because my microphone is not quite a Rode microphone. When I started podcasting way back in 2013 for a handful of episodes, I was just using my iPhone, quite honestly, and an app on my phone, and I'd upload those to Dropbox and then get those over to my media host. And well, that was when I only lasted maybe 10 episodes and said, all right, I'm about to have a child and my life is too busy. So I set it aside for several years. And this is actually kind of how Sean and I got introduced, because I was on the social media app Vorail talking about getting a new microphone, getting a mixer, and asking questions about that. And Sean was one of the few, if not the only, I think he was the only person really to give me good answers as to what I should be using. I knew of a microphone I wanted. I wasn't sure about a mixer. I think that was the case. And the microphone I purchased was the Audio-Technica ATR 2100, which is very popular with people who do podcasting. It's a very nice microphone, gives you a really nice sound. It is USB as well as XLR, so you can plug it right into a mixer without using USB. But you can do USB right into your computer if you want. But I plug it into a mixer using XLR. And Sean had come on and said, you've got the right mic. That's a great mic to use. Here's the mixer that I recommend. And it's a Behringer. Oh, gosh. Sean, help me. What model is this? 820?
802.
So I had my numbers mixed up. I guess I'm dyslexic today.
Yes, he never listens.
I do not ever listen, no. The Behringer 802. Now, mine, because there are two different versions of that mixer. Mine is a non-USB, where I think Sean will be talking about his in a moment, which is a USB. But mine is similar to what you were talking about, Stephen. I have stereo input and output, so I have that going into the line-in of my computer so that I can take everything in and out there. But then I've got, of course, my XLR microphone, the ATR2100 plugged into it. Actually, I've got two of those. I've got two ATR2100s plugged in, so if I had somebody else sitting here, they'd be able to talk into that. And I've got one of the other inputs used for my cell phone, so I can actually plug my iPhone right into it in stereo. So if I ever wanted to record something from my iPhone, I can do that. If I ever want to get anything to my iPhone, I actually have the Apple camera kit where I can take it out of my mixer through another little mini Behringer mixer into my iPhone, so I can go back that way. So I've got all of that set up now, and it works so nicely with the ATR2100, the Behringer 802, all into an HP computer running Windows 10. And I'm actually, because I'm even cheaper, I use Audacity, which is free and is very accessible. The folks at Audacity do a really great job making sure that it's accessible. There are plugins that you can get for JAWS and I believe even NVDA that can make it even more accessible. But I don't even bother with the plugins because Audacity for me, with Sean's expert tutelage on how to use it. Well, when I first started, I was like, okay, what am I doing? And now I'm very comfortable with editing with it. I do all of my Life After Blindness episodes with Audacity, and it works really nicely. So yeah, it's one of those things where you don't have to spend hundreds or even thousands of dollars, like you said, Stephen, for probably less than $100 between the mixer I have, the microphone, and Audacity for free. You can really get some good quality and get started.
Which is lucky, because I won't spend anything. So everything I've got is basically what I've stolen off Stephen, or what he's thrown away, which works out well for me. But no, I got to agree, the Audio-Technica AT2100 microphone is amazing. I recommend it to everyone, just because it's got that flexibility of having two outputs, the USB, so you don't even need a mixer if you don't want to go that way at the start. But you've also got that XLR output to connect it to a mixer later on. And it sounds really good. I love it. It's a decent price as well. So definitely, that's a mic I always recommend. Now, a mixer, you can... It depends what you're going to do, really. It's always good to get a mixer, because you can put your smartphone into it if you're going to do demos or whatever. I just think it does give you much more options. But you can bypass that, and as Tim said, just plug the mic into the USB of your computer and record straight that way. But the mixer that I did start off with, as Tim said, was the Behringer 802. I did get the USB version. Which was fine. It was great. I think it cost me around £40. So again, you don't have to break the bank to get this stuff. And it did everything I needed to do. And it was a great mixer to learn on. The one I'm currently using is a Allen & Heath Z10, which surprisingly was the one that Stephen upgraded from. but I got to say, it's a great mixer. Fantastic again. But if you really want to get into this, you know, it can be a little bit daunting getting into mixing and setting it all up and all the cables, but really it's something you add in later on if you want to. You don't have to start off with a mixer. I think it does scare some people off. But the microphone, Audio-Technica 2100, it's amazing and it's a bargain.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, if you can get something that is going to work for you, and I think, Tim, you said you used your iPhone at the start, and one of the things I do here at R&IB, I do actually do work occasionally. I mean, I know it seems unlikely, but
fake news.
You know, I do occasionally do something. And one of the things I do is I go around the country and I talk to people about recording their stories, telling their stories, either about creating a podcast or, you know, whatever it might be, just even just sharing stories with themselves or their family or whatever, just keeping a record. I remember a great story of someone who learned, not through me, but learned how to record using their smartphone and were able to capture sounds of an elderly relative so they could listen back to that in the future. It was a beautiful use of recording, frankly. And it was just such a lovely thing because, you know, video is lovely and all that, but, you know, audio captures and it gives you the imagination and gives you a lot more. The pictures are always better on radio is what I say.
It's true, though. It does give you a little extra something, I think.
Yeah, audio does something that TV or video just doesn't for me. And I think it's because, you know, I always remember someone saying, you know, if you're sitting in a car and there's four of you in the car and the radio is on and a song comes on, each person sitting there will have a very different experience of that song. One might hate it, one might love it, one might remember it as the song they broke up to or made up to someone with, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
And that's the power of audio, really. So for that reason, you can use pretty much any device you've got hanging around. Now, a lot of blind people have got recorders already in the form of maybe a Victor Rear Stream, or they've got a smartphone. And that already is a decent recorder. All of these devices now have got really powerful recorders in them. I mean, the iPhone's got a great microphone in it now. You can buy additional bits. I did. I got a Shure Motive MV88, MV short for Motive, and that's a little microphone which is plugged into the lightning port of the phone, so at the bottom of the phone, and it turns that phone into a pro audio device. And I have to say, I think I said to you guys when I remember getting it and I used it for the first time, I thought it was one of the best field microphones I'd ever used. Because the audio quality was just stunning from this thing. So you can add Pro to it, but and that costs in the region of £114. So it's a considered purchase. But the actual phone itself is a decent recorder, and I'm going to let you into a secret. Every interview that I do for this show and for the Daily Connect, I only use my iPhone. That's it.
No! Don't spoil it.
Oh my.
That's what goes out on air. That's what goes out on the radio. That is the standard. No, what I will say is that we take that audio and we do a little bit of, I think the phrase they use here is these days is zhuzhing up. So I do a bit of zhuzhing on it. I don't know how you spell that. Don't ask. But you can add a bit of process to it. You can add a bit of compression. You can build up the audio a little bit. But actually, truth be told, on most interviews I've done, you don't need it. You know, the audio quality is absolutely fine. What is important is the technique, and that's the most important thing. So let's say you want to use your iPhone as a recorder. One of the best places to start, especially if it's your iPhone, is the Voice Memos app. It's simple. It is the simplest app in the world. We can use it. So if we can use it, you can use it.
Absolutely.
All you do is when you get into the phone, there is a big, you open up the Voice Memos app, there's a big button, if you can see it, it's a big red record button. VoiceOver will speak it for you. And you tap on it, and that starts the recording. It gets you going. You can hit record, you can start a conversation. Now, what I tell people to do, or I encourage people to do, is a couple of things. One, always put your phone on Do Not Disturb mode, or even airplane mode, ideally. But probably both for safety. Because what you don't want is for there to be a call to come through immediately. As soon as you start the recording, it's like, oh, there's mum calling. Great. and the reason you don't want that is because you might think, okay, well, maybe the phone's on silent. Doesn't matter. Well, it does, because the iPhones in particular, as people may know, Apple are very big on privacy. So when an app is recording, as soon as the phone call starts, even if it's not answered yet, it will actually mute the microphone, so nothing happens. So if you were having a conversation and you were really having a good conversation with someone, the phone's ringing, but you're aware of it, but the person you're interviewing isn't, what they've just said won't be captured because it'll have muted the mic. So that's the first problem. So you have to turn on Do Not Disturb. You've got to put on airplane mode, ideally. And also remember to turn them back off after you've done the recording, How many times have I had calls from my wife mounting up because I've forgotten to do that? What I also say to people is, a lot of blind people, I do this as well, I lock my orientation of my phone. I don't want it changing to portrait or landscape all the time. I want it just to stay in portrait mode. And what I do is I turn that off for this purpose and I flip my phone upside down. And I kind of think of it like I've turned it into a microphone, because the microphone is actually at the very bottom of the phone. It's near the lightning port.
Yeah.
And what you want to do is you want to kind of treat it like, you know, you're there on a Saturday night singing I Will Survive for Your Life on a pub stage. This is a common occurrence in the UK, Tim. I know you understand.
Talk about imagery. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
It's always horrendous, but...
I'm sure.
I don't mean me, I mean other people.
Oh, I see.
Stephen's Weekend, yeah.
Now you know. So, once you turn the phone upside down, treat it like an actual microphone. And then what I say to people is try and kind of get the phone about 6 inches away from your face. The best way to do that is just kind of stretch your hand out in front of you. And where your pinky is, bring your hand to your face, and then where your pinky is, it's roughly about 6 inches away. That gives you a decent distance. And the reason we do that is, of course, because what do we hate in radio, guys?
Plosives.
Pops and plosives, yes.
Pops. Now, we've got special windshields and stuff on our mics to stop that. But, I'm going to take my windshield off my mic, right? So that's the windshield.
Brace yourselves.
A little bit of foam that comes over the mic.
Oh,
now,
no.
If I say the word pop, terrible.
That was awful.
That's liked it.
So if I said Peter picked a pot of pickled peppers.
Okay, put it back on.
Yeah, I think we need to put it back on. as you can hear, it's not the greatest, is it? So you don't want that. And that's why I've got a windshield in my mic to stop that happening. But also part of it is down to distance. Because if you think about it, the P is a blast of air coming from your mouth, hitting the microphone head on, and that's what the plosive is. So you want to try and reduce that as much as possible. So that's about distance, and it's about positioning. So what I would say is, it's all about, first of all, recording, trying stuff, listening back. You'll get it in your head. The most important thing to tell people, and I say this to sighted people all the time, a lot of my sighted friends will edit with their eyes. They look at a waveform on a screen, and they edit that way. You've got to listen, you know, and who is better to do that than us? And I have to say, my editing has definitely got better the worse my sight has got. I cannot doubt it.
It's a price you're willing to pay.
Yeah, that's right.
For better editing.
It's all
yes,
good just for that.
I can't really add anything to those tips because you're absolutely right. I think the quality you can get from just a smartphone is amazing now, and it is all just down to, as you said, the technique and just a bit of thought sometimes. You know, if you're in an environment where there's a bit of background noise, just being aware of that and knowing where that microphone is on the smartphone, you can get some amazing results.
And the only couple things that I could really think to add to that, one is a little bit of a tip, the other one might be a little funny story. When you're using something like voice memos, especially now that the microphones in your smartphone are so good, you can actually go into the settings of voice memos on the phone or whatever app you're using and change the way that it's recording the audio. So by default, voice memos, for example, is using MP3 and it's compressed audio. If you want to have it uncompressed, voice memos actually does support WAV files, which is uncompressed audio, which is going to get you a much better, clearer sound. I used to use an app called Clear Record that you could choose between a lot of different formats, especially WAV, and it had noise cancellation and things like that. But when I do things on my iPhone now, I just use voice memos and I've gone into the settings and changed it to WAV so that I'm getting that uncompressed sound. Now, back in the day, I mentioned how way back when I first started podcasting, I used my iPhone. It was an iPhone 5. And at first, because the microphone in there wasn't the best, so I spent, probably $30, $40 and got what's called an iRig that was made for the iPhone. So I could plug it straight into the headphone jack on the iPhone. And it was just this little microphone, little square rectangular thing that stuck out of the headphone jack with a microphone on it, had a little bit of a gain on it. It was really nice for $40. And what I found, because I think both of you guys know this, I know Sean knows this, to get a good sound and a dead sound, because in my house it was just not quiet enough, I would go into our garage in the back of my car and sit in the back of the car in the garage and get that silent, dead sound.
Weird.
And when I realized that I was getting those plosives that you were talking about, Stephen, as I mentioned, that was just about the time that my daughter was born, and she was a few months old when I was starting all that. And even with the iRig, I found that I was getting plosives. So I took one of her little baby socks, one of her tiny little baby booty socks, and put that over the iRig mic, and it actually worked as a windscreen for the iRig. So that's how it started with that, just getting a nice, clear, quiet space that was with dead sound, a little bit of a cheap microphone to plug in there, put a sock over the mic.
Stolen off your own child.
And it works really well. I didn't care. But it works really, really well now that the iPhone has a much better microphone in recent iterations of it. You don't necessarily have to even do that. I actually was able to find, I think for maybe $10 or so, there's a converter cable that you can get that takes an XLR plug from a mic. So like our ATR2100 we talked about, I can take that with XLR and plug it straight into an iPhone. So a couple times on Tech Talk, when I was away from my home or my computer, I would take my iPhone with me with my ATR2100 and that little converter, and was able to plug my ATR2100 directly into my phone and record that way. So there's so many different ways you can do that just using your phone.
And that's what's wonderful about it. I mean, I think a lot of people think that this is far more technical than it is, and we kind of make a joke about that, but it actually isn't as technical as it needs, or doesn't need to be as technical. I mean, we could arguably, three of us could sit with our iPhones, record this, and then put it together. We could.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the quality would be okay,
yeah,
but it wouldn't be maybe as good as we want it to be.
And that's why you choose a bit more professional microphones. I think the mic both you guys use is actually brilliant. I might even go so far to say it's better than this. Rode isn't that expensive. I mean, you're talking about £120 or so. I think I paid for mine. So it's not a huge outlay.
The 2100 is probably about half that, maybe less on sale.
Right, well, okay. I don't think it is. It is a lot cheaper in the US there. I think it probably is around £180 to £100 over here. Yeah,
That's Brexit for you. See,
yeah, in the US, it usually is around $50 to $60, maybe $60 to $70 if it's not on sale. So, yeah, probably better to order it on Amazon in the US.
Well, life's just so much better in Cincinnati, Ohio, isn't it?
Yeah, don't go on about it.
I wouldn't say that. I would move to Canada. Anyway, continue.
Well, all I'm saying is if you get four more years of that guy, good luck.
I wish Canada wasn't so cold. Anyway.
I'd put up with it. Well, I already do. I live in Scotland.
Wow, we've gone off on a tangent.
There's a first.
Say, don't get me started. I have done research onto what the warmest climate in the UK is. How far south can I go to get the warmest climate? And, well, 6 months of the year it was okay. The rest of the year, not so much.
London's nice. You get a bit of heat there.
There were some islands. I don't remember what they were called now, but there were some islands way south that were quite warm most of the year. But
Spain.
Try the Isle of Dogs. That's always good for a laugh. Yes, that is a real place.
Yes.
So,
anyway.
So once we've got all the audio, Sean takes it and works magic on it. Well, I'll let you tell everybody what you do.
Yeah.
We wonder.
Well, yeah, so I get all the files. We simply throw them into Dropbox, which is fantastic and so useful. So we throw all our individual recordings.
Oh, hang on. Let's not jump past that too quickly. Dropbox. Why do we use Dropbox, Sean Priest?
Well, it just makes total sense because we can send files to each other and we can see whose files are in there and whose files aren't, and who we need to chase up because they haven't put their files in there.
No, Stephen.
No, obviously, if you're doing like we're doing now, we're doing an hour-long recording, so those files can be quite big. It can be 300, 400 megabytes, so we need a way to send them to each other quickly, and email can be a problem. So something like Dropbox or even Google Drive or what's the Microsoft one? OneDrive. Something like that, really, in our case anyway, is essential. And it just works really well. We just throw them into the Dropbox folder and they appear on everyone's computer.
And to do that, just to sort of add to that, we do have the kind of paid for version of Dropbox as well, because you only get, I think on the free version, you get like 2 gigabytes or something. And
I think it's more than that now.
Is it? Is it more?
Maybe. I think so.
It's not a huge amount anyway.
I want to say it's maybe five, something like that, but it's not much more, but we get a lot more by paying.
Well, you do. I mean, I chose the version which gives us 2 terabytes. So, you know, that's a little bit of audio. It's already way over half full. So, you know, I mean, come on, it's well used. But not just for Tech Talk, I mean, for other stuff as well. But I think it's really, really good, and it's a really good system. It's fairly accessible, but the setup is the key thing. Once you've got it set up, the rest is easy, because it actually just turns into like another place on your desktop. You know, if you're on
It almost works like File Explorer.
Exactly, yeah. So you just go into File Explorer, there it is, you drop the files in, and you can have the files, you know, available to you. It's nice and easy. But of course, you've got to make sure you've enough room on your computer. And if the other person you're sending it to doesn't have the full version of Dropbox, well, they're going to run into some problems, because whatever size your Dropbox is, it's going to try and copy all of that to theirs. So, you know, people sitting with a 2 gig suddenly find they've got nothing. And
nothing left.
Chap at the door from Dropbox saying, pay up, please, sir. So, it is advisable if you're going to do it together. If a couple of you getting together, maybe just start on the free tier with all of you and just kind of decide, you know, when it's time to move on.
If you keep on top of it, it can be fine on the free version. It's just that we tend to throw everything in there and keep backups and things. So, you know, we do need the paid version, but yeah.
And then all of a sudden Stephen does something and it's like 1 terabyte of files is copying to your computer now. Like, what did Stephen do?
Yeah, that happens a lot. I think that happened today. So once you've got all the audio files together, what are you using? How are you putting it together?
So I'm using, for my audio editing, I'm using, like Tim, Audacity. I think it's fantastic. Audacity is available for Windows and Mac, and as Tim said, it's accessible. It really doesn't matter which screen reader you're using, NVDA or Jaws or whatever, VoiceOver.
Yeah, I've used both.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly, it doesn't matter what screen reader you use. So best way to think about it is like you're editing a text document or a Word document. So you hit the home key, you jump to the start of the recording, the audio. You hit the end key, you jump to the end. And in between, you're just moving through the audio using the left and right arrow keys to select some audio, to cut it or copy it or paste it somewhere else. You hold down the shift key whilst moving left or right. And that's a very, very basic lowdown on it, but you know, essentially that's what you're doing. And for getting more information and getting started, I just started reading the online manual, the user manual with Audacity. It's really good. It does mention keyboard shortcuts and screen reader users in there as well, so that's really good. YouTube is another great resource. There's so many good videos on there showing you how to get started, because that is one of the most daunting aspects of new software, isn't it? Open it up and I have no idea where to start. So, yeah, definitely check out those resources. Audacity does support multi-track editing. So you can edit more than one audio file at once and mix them together, which is what we need, as there's three of us. So I have Stephen's audio and my audio and Tim's audio all on separate tracks in Audacity. And basically I move up and down with the arrow keys and enable one track while I'm editing Stephen's terrible audio or or vice versa, wherever it needs to be. And then maybe add another track to add the intro and outro music. So, yeah, it does get more complicated the more tracks you have. But honestly, just getting started, it really is. It's quite easy, even though I hate to say that. But there are other options out there. There's other accessible audio editors. I know Stephen is currently trying to learn one and playing around with one, and I know he's going to bug me about it because he'll want me to start learning it as well.
Oh, yes. I'm going to bug the pair of you about this. I think Tim's more on side with this than you are. but, yeah, I am trying out Reaper at the moment. Now, I say I'm trying out. What I've done is I've bought it, I've put it on my computer, and I've turned it on. I've read the first couple of pages of the manual, and then I yawned a lot and then went to bed.
Well done.
So I haven't got very far with it. I did manage to create a track and record something. That was it. And we were going to try it on one of our recordings of our shows, and I think Tim said, let's not do that. Because, you know, it could all go horribly wrong.
Yeah, let's practice a little bit first, yes.
But my thing is, at the moment, multi-track editing. I just cannot do it anymore. With Adobe Audition, I can do single-track editing, and that is accessibility by design by me, because I've chosen shortcuts on the keyboard shortcut options to enable me to navigate around well enough to be able to, you know, kind of get through the audio, listen to it, edit it, fine edit as well. So all that I can do, right? That's fine on single track. But when you use multi-track audio, you need to be able to do that on a multiple scale. And Adobe Audition just doesn't have the capability to do that accessibly. You can't do it all with a keyboard, and that's the problem. And even if you can do it with a keyboard, not all of it's read back. So for that, I've decided I'm out with this whole thing. I'm just thinking, no.
I'm out.
I am out. Exactly. I'm Duncan Bannatyne.
Which isn't... It's a terrible position for Audition to be in, because it is almost an industry standard. Mm-hmm. And for it to be in that state is really disappointing from Adobe, I've got to say.
But this is where Reaper comes into its own, because... And there's another one that I'm kind of intrigued by, which is Pro Tools brought out a free version of their software called Pro Tools First.
Yeah.
Haven't tried it yet. I kind of don't want to, in a way, because I feel like my head will explode with all between Braille and learning all these new systems and all the screen reader stuff I've been doing. So, no, I think maybe just hit the brake for a while and get my head around Reaper. But Pro Tools First sounds interesting, because Pro Tools is accessible. I'm not sure, though, if it's accessible via scripts for JAWS or for MVDA, or whether it's natively accessible. That I'm not sure about.
Out of the box, yeah.
But, you know, I think it comes down to what you're comfortable with and familiar with, because I'm open to the idea of using Reaper ever since I heard on another podcast, Sean's friend Garth Humphreys did a whole thing on Reaper, and I listened to him and I'm intrigued by it. But because Audacity is the first one that I got into, kind of like the whole debate we sometimes have about voiceover versus talkback, I'm used to it. I'm comfortable with it. I can do extraordinarily simple things with it. But as Sean has taught me over the years, I can do a lot of advanced things with it and really dive deep into what I'm editing. And I know you can do that with Reaper, and it's very accessible, as I've heard Garth demonstrate. But I'm so comfortable with Audacity. I just don't know that I want to move, because I don't know that I have a reason to. But I'm intrigued by it, and I'm open to the idea of it.
I wish I'd started out in Audacity years ago. But, you know, it's Adobe Edition 3 that I'm running. So, it's, you know, we're up to, what, version 7 now? And, of course, it's all moved on to the Creative
Suite.
Right. So it's all in the cloud. Yeah. So you can't, you know, the version I've got will eventually, Windows 10 will just one day say, nah, you're not getting this. No. So for that reason, I need to learn something else. And Reaper is going to be it, I think, because it's, you know, I was exactly the same. Garth, who occasionally pops up on Voreal and I talk to him, not on Voreal, sorry, on Zello when we chat. And, you know, we all get together and we have a bit of a yap about stuff. And he said to me as well, you've got to learn this because it's great. And actually, that was what kind of decided for him to put this series together. Audio Pizza is the podcast. Go check it out, because honestly, it's a brilliant... I mean, he's got lots of stuff on there, but that particular series, if you want to get into audio editing seriously, have a listen to that, because... it's really good. And also, they've put together a new podcast, haven't they? Which is Tart.
Which I think is brilliant for the audio roundtable. Yes, it's an unfortunate acronym, but it's...
No, it's not. It's brilliant.
it's fantastic. And they are another level professional. Music production and voiceover work.
Yeah, they get serious.
It's fantastic. Yeah, they are top of the line with all that stuff. I mean... way beyond anywhere I even need to be, never mind would want to be.
Yes.
But they do offer a lot of advice and a lot of tips as well. So, I mean, in essence, what I would say to people is, if you want to get your podcast out there, the final step in all of this is where you actually put the audio. How do you get it out there? I think there's a couple of options, a couple of really simple things which you can do. You know, YouTube is a very popular way to get audio out nowadays, but of course... YouTube is visual, so you know, videos don't tend to do quite as well, from my understanding, on YouTube if it's audio only.
That's right.
So that could be a bit of a challenge. Plus, I've noticed you have to do things like add an image to the file. That's a very confusing thing. Because you have to almost turn it into a video to put it up there. You can't just throw up an audio file.
No.
Yeah, you'll get a lot of comments that are very hateful if you don't have video, if you just put audio up. I mean, people sometimes will understand this was from a podcast, it is audio. But yeah, being a visual first medium, you do have to consider where you're putting it and that it is visual.
But there are lots of podcast options out there. And, you know, it goes from the, you know, relatively small price up to, you know, you have to pay. You've got to pay something. Relatively small fees from about £5 to £10 a month, way, way up. I mean, you can pay as much as you like. In fact, I was reading about incredible story of the New York Times. They have a podcast each day, which I listen to. I really enjoy it. It's called The Daily. And that podcast gets over 2 million downloads a day.
Nearly same right? as us.
One, we can only dream, right? We can only dream.
Take half. Heck, I take a quarter.
Yeah, but in saying that, when you actually see how much that costs to run, right? Because each podcast right. costs money based on the bandwidth, the amount of data that's used to sort of transfer out to so that we can all listen to it. For that podcast, if they're using, and this is according to the article, if they're using Amazon's servers to do this, it would cost £50,000 a month. $50,000, wow. I should say, $50,000.
Oh, well, that's okay then.
But wow, I mean... So, yeah, I don't want to be the one responsible for that bill to the RNIB. I think that's a bit unfair. But, you know, it's really interesting, you know, when you start getting into this. But there are other alternatives. And one I've been playing around with recently, which I think is brilliant, actually, is JustCast. Essentially, what it does is it's free. You can pay if you want to. And it's not a huge amount. I think it's like £5 a month. But what you get for the free tier is the ability to have a podcast where only the top three items are available. And the way it works is it connects to a folder on your Dropbox account. So back to Dropbox again, right? Again, thinking about accessibility here, how simple this is. The website is really simple. All you do is drop a file into a JustCast folder. Once you sign up, it kind of connects in a folder to that account so that anything that goes into that folder will appear on its website. Once you drop the audio file in, you go to the website, you reload it, and there it is. There's your audio file. You can go to it, you can add a title, you can add information, you can add artwork and whatever you want to do. And there it is, and you can submit that to iTunes or to Google Play or whatever you like. A really, really good option. So try that one out. Of course, there's Audioboom where we host our content, but that's paid. There are also other options out there as well, lots and lots of them. But you know, it's such a really interesting world. Do try it out. Let us know how you get on. And we will look forward to your feedback. And you can do that by sending us an email to techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Our time is up, though, for this hour, guys. So thank you so much for coming back on.
Ah, it was great to be back. Thank you.
Yeah, it was so nice to be back. As usual, we needed 2 hours, but it was very nice to be back. Thank you.
We'll catch you again next time on Tech Talk.